Peace and blessings, family. Hamia Shabazz here to welcome you to the Voice of Black Star on EPRN, Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, where you will get the truth, nothing but the truth, so help me, Yah. We can also connect on Facebook, i.e. Conversations with the Hebrew, Brew Virtual Book Club, and Black Star Political Party. Also, if you love the skin you're in, visit your local beauty supply or health food store near you and purchase AF Shea Soufflé, with a variety of scents to choose from, such as strawberry mango, vanilla coconut, and lemongrass, just to name a few, are made with all natural ingredients whipped to rich, creamy, thick perfection. Follow, like, and share on Facebook, Absolutely Fabulous, and Instagram, ShayQueen77. Your skin will thank you for it. Are you a business owner looking to advertise your hard work without breaking the bank? Voice of Black Star has you covered for a small monthly fee of $30. Voice of Black Star airs every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For further details, email afshaebutter@gmail.com. That's afshaebutter@gmail.com. And last but never least, if you like what you hear, like, share, and subscribe to the channel. Donations are welcomed and much appreciated. You may send your blessings via Cash App, Hermina Shabazz. Thank you. Peace and blessings, family. Welcome, welcome to the program. I'm here today to talk to you about the book of Ezekiel. Now, I know last time I spoke and I left a recording. If you watched the last podcast, Voice of Black Star on EPRN, you would have known that I did talk about, we're going to talk about the book of Ezekiel. But before we can talk about the book of Ezekiel, let's get into who Ezekiel was. And I'm going to come to you guys out of the Zondervan Illustrated Bible Dictionary, okay? Because I like this book, because this is how I started off when I first got into understanding of the truth, that these were some key books that I was introduced to, you know, via the groups that were out there, you know, the Hebrew groups that are out there right now. And they're still going strong. And I have no hate towards any of them because, like I said, this is how I got started into my walk, my journey. The Most High used them to open my eyes. And then from there, He used wisdom to take me to my next level, okay? So that's how that works. Okay, now, Ezekiel. Who was he? Who was Ezekiel? Well, the Hebrew Concordance H3489 says it means God strength. Put the S at the end. God strength. That's what Ezekiel means. He was the son of Buzi, descendant of Zadok, and a major Hebrew prophet during the exile. So you can check out Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 3. A play is made on this name in connection with the prophet's call. Now, I think this is going to go with Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 7 through 8, in verse 14. So that, again, that is chapter 3, verses 7 through 8, and also verse 14. Born of a priestly family, of course, you can check out Ezekiel 1:3. Ezekiel grew up in Judah during the last years of Hebrew independence and was deported to Babylon with Jehoiakim in 597 B.C. Probably early in life, he was called to be a prophet in the fifth year of his captivity, chapter 1, verse 1 through 2. The last date mentioned is the 27th year, verse 29 and 17. His ministry, therefore, lasted at least 22 years, from about 593 to 571 B.C., before the Common Era. You know, that's what B.C. usually stands for. Ezekiel was a younger contemporary of the prophet Jeremiah, and probably in somewhat older contemporary of Daniel, who also, as a young man, was taken to Babylon in 605. Ezekiel lived with the Jewish exiles by the irrigation canal named Kabar. You'll find this in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1, verse 3, and then chapter 3, verse 15, which connected the Tigris River with the Euphrates above Babylon. Daniel carried out his quite different work in the Babylonian court. we know a little more about Ezekiel itself, that he was married. That's going to be written, you'll find that in chapter 24 and verse 18. The captivity of the Jews consisted in their deportation to a foreign land. Once arrived in Babylon, however, the exiles seem to have been completely free to settle and live their lives as they please. At Nippur, N-I-P-P-U-R, located on the Kabar Canal, many records have been found of a Jewish business house, the Murashu Sons. Murashu is spelled M-U-R-A-S-H-U, Sons, indicating the possibilities open to exiles. Many of the Jews became so settled in their adopted land that they refused to leave it at the end of the exile. And from that time to this, the majority of the Hebrews have lived outside of Palestine. Oh, that's very interesting that Most High brings this to my attention for me to read today. Thank you, Most High Power. When Jerusalem was finally destroyed, some 10 years after he arrived in Babylon, Ezekiel entered into the sufferings of his people. On the glazed brick reliefs of the lion, the sacred animal of the goddess Ishtar, from the procession street in Babylon. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong thing. My bad, because there's a picture down here, and I just kind of kept going with the chapter. Anyway, let me keep reading. Let me go back and start over. When Jerusalem was finally destroyed, some 10 years after he arrived in Babylon, Ezekiel entered into the sufferings of his people. On the day on which the final siege began, the prophet's wife became suddenly sick and died. In this, he became a sign to the people and was not allowed to go through the customary period of mourning, doubtless to emphasize to them the greater sorrow now coming on the nation. So he didn't get a chance to really grieve his wife, because the suffering of Israel is about to be strong right here. In recent years, a good deal of interest has been awakened regarding the usual states of the prophets during the reception of their revelations. Some have diagnosed Ezekiel's condition as catalepsy, but the passages adduced, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 14 through 15, verse 26 through 27, and then you have chapter 4, verse 4 through 5, and of course chapter 24, verse 27. Hardly support such a theory. So it's saying that pretty much, you know, those verses I just gave you doesn't support the theory of what I just read to you above. Some have diagnosed Ezekiel's condition as catalepsy. Okay, so that, you know, that disputes that. Because I guess his visions or whatever he was getting, they kind of, you know, didn't think that he had an illness as well. Rather, it would seem that the occasional silence of the prophet and his lying on the ground were signs to gain the attention of the people and to act out his message. Ezekiel was a powerful preacher, possessing a deeply introspective and religious nature. He used allegory, vivid figures, and symbolic actions to close his message. His favorite expression to denote the divine inspiration, "The hand of the Lord was upon me." This is chapter 1, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 14, and verse 22. This is of Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel. Shows how strongly he felt impelled to communicate the message given him. His preaching was directed to his Jewish brethren in exile, and like Jeremiah's, it was often resented, for it held out little hope for the immediate future. No doubt his message was ultimately received, for the exile became a time of religious purging. In Babylon, the Jews were cured permanently of their idolatry, and Ezekiel, their major religious leader, must be given much credit for that. Okay, well, the Most High gets much credit for that. We're going to correct that. The Most High gets credit for that because he used Ezekiel. You know, he used Ezekiel's spirit to help push his message to kind of correct our family, So anyway, let's keep going. The prophet's ministry was divided into two periods. The first ends with the siege of Jerusalem in 587 B.C., Ezekiel 24, verse 1 and verse 27. It was a message of approaching destruction for Jerusalem and of condemnation of her sin. The second period begins with the reception of the news of Jerusalem's fall some 2 years later, chapter 33, verse 21 through 22. Now, the prophet's message emphasized comfort and looked forward to the coming of the kingdom of God. It would appear that during the 2 years between, Ezekiel ceased all public ministry. Frequently in this book, more than 70 times, Ezekiel is referred to as Son of Man. The term means a mortal, or as in Psalms 8:4, and is used here to emphasize the prophet's weakness and dependence on God for his success. Yes, he has to depend on God for success, family, because that's who gave him the knowledge. That's who gave him wisdom and understanding so that he could go prophesy to the people. And later, the term came to be a messianic designation, okay? And then you can also go, if you have the book, if you have the Zondervan Illustrated Bible Dictionary, then you can also see Son of Man, okay? You can either, if you have it downloaded or whatever, if you have a copy of the book, that's great as well. So, Ezekiel, pretty much a quick overview of Ezekiel. The priest, prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel received his visions while in exile in Babylon from central 593, 7 years before the fall of Jerusalem, to centuries 571 B.C. Purpose of it, to impress on the Hebrew exiles the truth that their captivity and the destruction of the nations were the result of their faithlessness, which we struggle from to this very, very day. Okay, and I guess that's why Ezekiel is being pushed right now. That's why I've been inspired to talk about the book of Ezekiel, you know, because this is time for us to understand what's going on, to bring them to repentance and to assure them that God will yet restore them. And that's why I post so many videos from my brother Lanny and sister, Sister Amber from First Resurrection Fellowship. Churches, you know, I follow them on YouTube and whatever. They do have a Facebook. They do have an actual website. I follow them, and I also follow another couple and on YouTube. And I post a lot of their stuff on my Facebook page, Conversations with the Hebrew, because they have more detail and they're more relevant with it. You know, I'm just doing a podcast stuff. I'm kind of hitting certain things to kind of get you guys to kind of tap into your awakening, tap into you, to wake you up a little bit, the sons and daughters of the Most High Power. Now, this can also go out to the Gentiles as well, because the Most High is waking, about to shake up this whole world, okay, because the whole world is His, and everything in it is His. He is the creator of all things, okay? So, let's keep going with that, and then it says, contents, oracles against Judah, Ezekiel 1 through 24, oracles against pagan nations, chapters 25 and through 32, and promises of restoration, chapters 33 through 39, visions of the future temple, chapters 40 through 48. So this is pretty much what we're going to be dealing with the book of Ezekiel, family, okay? All right, so I'm going to read a little bit more on Ezekiel, and I guess I can because it isn't that much to go. But let's go. Book of Ezekiel, the third book among the major prophets of the Old Testament. Until quite recently, the work was universally accepted as written by the prophet Ezekiel. Some critics have denied the unity of the book, and have attributed all or parts of it to later writers. There has been, however, no agreement among these critics. Now, I think they threw that in there to kind of throw us off a little bit, too, because Ezekiel may have written these books, or he may have used some people to translate the books for him, use it to write the books for him. Who knows? But if he's of a priestly family, I'm sure he was educated and literate. So I'm believing that he is the writer of his book and everything, and I think the reason why people want to deny this book of Ezekiel is also because they are afraid of the message that he has brought forth. It's scary. Because once we start reading the chapter, you understand what's going on with the book of Ezekiel. You understand why, you know, Jerusalem, you know, why the Israelites were, you know, some of us, a lot of us were against it, because it held us accountable. It shows us that there is a true living God out there and that we will be punished because he chose us as his nation. Okay, we're supposed to be the priests among the earth. We're supposed to be the priests, people going out, putting out a word about him, talking about him, praising him always, letting the world know who he is, okay? And it says, let's keep going. The arguments for the unity of the book and its origin with Ezekiel are very strong. The book is autobiographical, that is, the author often uses the first-person singular pronoun. The arrangement of the book shows its unity. All the parts fit together and indeed need each other to make the whole. So the book, it pretty much is saying that he wrote the whole book. Pretty much, it all adds up to one person. He wrote this thing, you know, he's in first person. The locality of Ezekiel's ministry was Babylon, to which he had been deported in 597 BC. Ezekiel chapters 8 through 11. Contains a unique vision of events that were transpiring in Jerusalem, made possible when the Spirit lifted me up. That's what he said. And in visions of God, he took me to Jerusalem. Chapter 8, verse 3. Elsewhere in the book, an intimate knowledge of events in faraway Jerusalem is applied, e.g., 24, that's Ezekiel still, chapter 24, verse 1 through 2. It appears impossible that Ezekiel in Babylon could have known in such detail events in Jerusalem except by divine inspiration. Therefore, many scholars are now of the opinion that Ezekiel really prophesied in Jerusalem until the city fell. The clear statements of the book, however, indicates his presence with the Jews in Babylon when he saw, and they got saw in parentheses. This is going to be chapter 8, verse 6, and chapter 8. Verse 6 and also verses 9 through 10. The events taking place at Jerusalem, and one who makes a serious attempt to understand the vision should grasp the statements rather than deny them. The book is divided into three parts. Denunciation of Judah and Israel. So you know that there are two parts we split. Okay, 10 tribes went with was up under the name of Israel, and the other one was under the name of Judah. Now, sometimes that really kind of, if you go deep into it, and I don't want to take you off too far, family, but if you really, really try to go into it, you'll see that, I mean, why did they divide up to one is Israel and one is Judah? They gave the name of Judah, of Yehuda. So, that this makes you think, you know, what does Judah mean? What is it representing? Why did he name some tribes, you know, Israel, 10 tribes, Israel, and then just on, but maybe three possible tribes, because if you want to include Levi, they include Levi sometime, but it was just, it was Judah and oh my gosh, forgive me, family, but it was Judah and another tribe of the group, of the whole. But anyway, that's a whole other story. I don't want to take you off too far because we can't go deep into that. But this is kind of a little side note. But anyway, let's go back. The book is divided into three parts. Denunciation of Judah and Israel, Ezekiel chapter 1 through 24, dated 593 to 588 B.C., Oracles Against Foreign Nations, chapters 25 through 32, dated 587 to 571, and the Future Restoration of Israel, chapters 33 through 48, dated 585 to 573. The prophecies of the first section were uttered before the fall of Jerusalem. Ezekiel's call to the prophet's work is described in Ezekiel chapters 1 through 3. Here occurs his visions of the divine glory, God's throne borne by an unearthly chariot of cherubim and wheels, chapter 1, verses 4 through 21, and that's what we're going to really get into, and I have notes on that, family, because it does say a lot of stuff, and it's like, can this stuff really exist? And it also applies to the things that we see today in this world. Today, there are things that we know that is out there that we just really haven't been paying attention to. This technology isn't new, okay? We've been given to it by spirits who shouldn't be giving us this type of information, which take us back to how Adam, you know, to Eve in the garden speaking to the knowledge of good and evil. Speaking to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we know that was Satan giving out knowledge he wasn't supposed to be sharing. Okay? But anyway, he was being rebellious. Anyway, I digress on that. Let's keep going. Ezekiel then predicts the destruction of Jerusalem by symbolic acts, chapter 4, verse 7, such as laying siege to a replica of the city, chapter 4, verse 1 through 8, and by rationing food and drink, chapter 4, verse 9 through 17. Next follows the famous vision of Jerusalem's iniquity, for which Ezekiel is raptured in spirit to Jerusalem, chapter 8 through 11, to chapters 8 through 11, and sees all kinds of loathsome idolatry being practiced in the temple courts. While he watches the desecration of the house of the Lord, he holds the divine glory which had been manifested in the most holy place. That's chapter 8, verse 4. Leave the temple and city, chapter 9, verse 3, chapter 10, verse 4, and 19, and also chapter 11, verses 22 through 23, symbolizing God's abandonment of his apostate people. At that moment, Ezekiel returns in spirit to Babylon. The rest of the first section, chapters 12 through 24, records symbolic actions and sermons of the prophet predicting the fall of Jerusalem. He enacts the departure into exile in chapter 12, verses 1 through 7, preaches against false prophets. Okay, and we have a lot of false prophets going on right now, family. And you know, some of them dropped dead within their sins, so they didn't get a chance to repent. You know, so we're seeing that right now. We're seeing the fall of the house of Christianity, so to speak, with our black leaders. I'm not going with the Gentile churches and stuff. I'm talking about the people who the Most High made priestlyhood, priestly people who are supposed to go out and teach his truth, but actually went out and made profit, okay, monetary profit and stuff with his teaching, committing idolatry, committing adultery, and doing all kinds of wickedness, which the Most High, you know, he rejects that stuff. And he talks about that in Genesis. And also in the book of Deuteronomy. I'm sorry, the book of Deuteronomy. But I digress on that. Okay, so he enacts the departure into exile. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Preaches against false prophets, chapter 13. And in two deeply moving oracles, chapter 16 and chapter 23, depicts the ungrateful people's apostasy. His statement of the individual's responsibility before God, chapter 18, is famous, you know, but we don't want to be responsible. And that's wrong with our people today. We do not want to be held accountable for our actions. We have lived under this false understanding, this false teaching given to us by the Gentiles, that we can just live and do whatever we want to do, and there are no repercussions for that, because God loves us. Most High loves us dearly. That's why a lot of things have been removed from our history book, which is the Bible. You know, they remove stuff because they don't want you to know that there is going to be consequences for your actions. That the same thing that happened in Babylon back in the day to the people of Israel, or Judah, in Judah and Israel, was the same thing that happened to us now, in this future. So, family, we have to really wake up and get with the program here. We really do. We really have to get with the program because it's so important. It's time to wake up. There's no more room for folly. There's no more room for us to be sitting here playing around with our souls. Because that's what a lot of us are doing. A lot of us are playing around with our souls. And we need to cut it out. Let's keep reading. Finally, he announces the beginning of the siege of Jerusalem. And in the evening of the same day, his wife dies. And he becomes dumb until the fall of the city. Chapter 24. After the prophecies of the judgment against foreign nations, after the prophecies of judgment against foreign nations, Ezekiel chapter 25 through verse 32, through chapter 32, I'm sorry, comes the climax of the prophet's vision, written after the fall of Jerusalem, the restoration of Israel, chapters 33 through 48. God will bring back the people to their land, send the son of David to reign over them and give them a new heart, chapters 34 and verse 36, or no, I'm sorry, chapter 34 and chapter 36. The vision of the Valley of Dry Bones, chapter 37, is a figurative statement of this regathering of the nation. Then follows Israel's defeat of the Gentile powers, Gog and Magog, chapters 38 through 39, Magog as well, M-A-G-O-G. Finally, a great restored temple is pictured, chapters 40 through 43. Its holy services, chapter 44 through 46. The river of life running from it, chapter 47. And the people of Israel living in their places around the city, called the land, the Lord is there, chapter 48. To which the glory of the Lord has returned, chapter 43, verse 2. Verse 4 through 5, and chapter 44, verse 4. Now, family, we know that the battle with Gog and Magog has not really happened yet. This is even talking after, this is around our time. Let's put it this way. This is what we're preparing for. That's why Ezekiel was the Most High really used him to handle his business. And he tested his faith by taking away his wife. He allowed his wife to pass on. You know, in the midst of him prophesying the truth, he wanted to see if he was going to cut, you know, if he was going to deny the Most High. And he did not deny the Most High. And the Most High gave him understanding and truth and wisdom to pass on for future generations such as us. And we're here now, family. We are here. We're in this. So, yes, we will be doing the book of Ezekiel really soon. And I also will be getting back to the book of Revelation. And I'm also going to come back to the Zondervan Bible Dictionary to go over what the book of Revelation really is, because I did not do that when I first started reading the chapter. And that's, and I should not have done that. I needed you to have understanding as what the book of Revelation really means. But you also must do your own research. It's important that you do your own research on these books, because, like I said again, I mean, I'm pulling out all the weapons the Most High has offered to me. You know, I have different books that I do read, you know, that do correlate with the scriptures, with the main book. Like I said, a lot of these books have been pulled from the scriptures. And I also read history books, because history tells a lot, too, because we have to think about it. That was all history as well. It wasn't some made-up story. It wasn't some make-believe thing. This all happened. But we have been made to believe that it's all fiction, you know, it's fantasy and stuff like that. But it's really not, family. It's truly not. And we need to get with the program. Our people need to get with the program. And Gentiles who choose to follow us need to get with the program. And repent. Yes, you have to repent even for your forefathers' sins. Yes, you do. Because, like, Israel has to report, you know, Judah, Israel, you know, the house of Jacob, so to speak. We have to repent for our forefathers' sins as well. And repent for ours, you know, repent for our people in general. You know, we have to ask for repentance. I'm sorry. We have to, you know, ask for repentance for this, you know. And, you know, like I ask for repentance for my family's sins and, you know, what we went through. Because I think about a lot of the stuff and how I grew up and what, you know, my transition in life was. And the Most High has definitely been covering me, because there have been situations where I probably shouldn't have even be alive, family. But Most High said, no, I need you. I want you. I need you here to push my message. And I guess he saw the strength in me and, you know, and my humbleness. Because I'm not bragging, because I don't talk much about me or whatever like this. Because this excites me. Talking about the Lord excites me. Getting this understanding excites me. Because I know there has to be something more out there. When I struggled with this thing almost a decade ago, you know, trying to figure out what is this life like? Why are black people struggling in this world, in the world, period? Why are we so looked down upon? What is this all about? I mean, this can't be real. This can't be a normal situation. All other countries and other peoples, they're living prosperously. Even those that are in South America and, you know, they're even starting to get the love, you know, the little islands or whatever, like that. But why is it that the so-called African-Americans, so-called black people that are in South America who were brought over, you know, during the slave trade, they just happen to go down to South Americas and intermingle with those people that the natives there, but still yet, there are still a lot of purebloods down there. But even they struggle with the native people there, you know, with the people around them and stuff. But anyway, I can go on for days about that, family, but we need to look within ourselves. We need to open our minds and our hearts to the Most High power so he can strengthen us and protect us and give us that armor to fight what's coming on this earth. And trust me, it's not going to be easy walk. There are going to be trials and tribulations on your way. You're going to get some bumps. You're going to get some bruises. You know, got to get a couple cuts, you know what I'm saying? This spiritual warfare is serious. Your soul is going to be sliced a couple of times if you don't have proper armor. And it's okay. It's like when you get, you know, open, like I work at a place where I have open boxes sometimes. Sometimes I get cut by the paper, literally the boxes, you know what I'm saying? My nails kind of break and he kind of get sometimes broken to the quick. And it's like, you know, and that's painful, you know, until it heals. So that's what this is like. That's what this walk is going to be like. So I'm not going to sugarcoat it, and I'm not going to let you feel like, oh, I'm just going to walk through the daisies. All I'm going to do is just go to church on Sunday, which is not the Sabbath day, which is not the seventh day. But I'm going to do this anyway. I'm going to do it how I want to do it. I'm going to worship him how I want to, not how he told me to do it. I'm going to do it how I want to do it so I can appease my flesh. And that's where a lot of us are right now. So we need to repent of that, family. Truly, truly, truly need to repent of that. It's so very, very, very important. But anyway, family, this has been a great conversation. Again, we will be hosting the Book of Ezekiel, or I will be hosting the Book of Ezekiel on a Voice of Black Star. And like I said, you can find me on Conversations with the Hebrew. I do post on there as well on Facebook. I am also on Instagram on Amina for Show. That's M-I-N-A-F-O. S-H-O, Mina for Show, and or either I have my whole name, Hermina Shabazz. I'm okay with letting people know who I am. I'm not hiding in the dark or hiding in the cut. You know, if what's going to happen to me, the Most High was letting his will be done, and that's how I see it, because I always ask for him to let his will be done in my life, and I hope that you're asking the same. Let his will be done in yours as well. Manway family, it's been great talking to you, great talking to you. And I pray that, you know, you tune in, you like, and you share this podcast. Share it, family. It's so important, okay? Thank you, and have a wonderful, wonderful, blessed day.